Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Back in Black, the ultimate home for Colorado football.
Matt McChesney. I played at the University of Colorado from 2004, 6 years in the National Football League on both sides of the football. What's happening, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to Back in Black, Buff Insider 247 Sports. I'm your host, Matt McChesney. Bailey's on the ones and the twos as usual. We got a fast, good hour for you coming up. The other side of the booth, the voice of the bus, the coolest email I've ever seen, voiceofthebuffs@gmail.com. Just the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life. Now, don't be emailing Mark. I'm just saying it's the coolest email I've ever seen. Mark Johnson joins us at 1:30, and damn, I'm excited to have him on the show. He's a great man, and there's a couple of voices that roll around in my head when I think about CU. And other than Zim and Coach Barnett and, of course, Coach Wilson, who yelled at me for 5 years straight and still yells at me, Mark Johnson's the other one. So we have a lot to talk about. Bailey's on the ones and the twos. Let's get through all this bullshit that's going on with CU and everybody else before we roll with Mark. So let's go.
Let's roll. Matt, we're in the building here. Happy Monday. If you guys are watching, pound that like button, subscribe, become a member of the Dungeon family here at 0 to 60, home of Back in Black, the premier show for Colorado Buffaloes football coverage, brought to you by 247 Sports and BuffInsider.com. Go use our promo code B2BPOD. Head on over to BuffInsider.com and get 60% off an annual VIP. We are 10 days away from Colorado Buffaloes football, and there's no better time to get on BuffInsider.com, get all the behind-the-scenes coverage from Jack Carlo and more using our promo
code. And then also, throw that back up there, because if you guys don't do this, we don't get paid.
Yes. It's a great way to support the show.
So if you like the show and you want us to keep doing it, go subscribe, please.
B2B pod, 60% off.
I believe I just shamelessly plugged myself like that. I kind of want to jump off a bridge, but you know what? Screw it.
Support the show. Use promo code B2B pod, over $80 in savings there. Matt, happy Monday. We got a lot to talk about here on the Colorado front, the NFL, and voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, joins the show. But Matt, how are you doing on this fine Monday?
I'm better than Jed York.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. 49ers CEO is in some deep waters indeed. But, Matt, talk about your son a little bit. He had his first game. Just kind of briefly intro to that before we dive into some Colorado Buffaloes football coverage.
Yeah, they lost. The Seminole team in Orlando is not fucking around. That heat hit those boys in the second half. I tried to tell them, like, that Florida heat's different, dog. This ain't Hawaii.
Yeah.
Good game. They played hard. A lot to learn. You know, I think they're a lot better than they played, and I think they know that too. But, you know, it's high school football, bro. You got to take the lumps. And they took theirs. So 24-hour rule, you know. Nick played pretty good. Not great. First game back after a year, knocking the rust off. They've got Arapahoe on Thursday night. Arapahoe's Theo Lee and Ashton Noyes and those boys. Tyler Brayton's our coach.
That's a good game,
We'll be on the sideline down there. I got credentialed for 247 for the year to go cover all the teams. So even though, you know, my boy's going to be playing, we'll be covering Theo and Ashton and Marquise and Brooklyn and Nick and everybody else on the field out there. That's a big one on Thursday night over at Littleton Public. So Brayton's the coach for Arapahoe, and obviously they haven't scored on Vista in the last 2 years. So they just want to get some points on the board and see if they can, you know, play a game. And if they're watching last week's film from Vista, there's blood in the water because Arapahoe didn't play. So they're just sitting around licking their chops.
Yeah.
I would caution that the team that you saw in Florida is probably not the team you're going to see Thursday night. They were pretty embarrassed and pissed off and had it coming to Jesus, and the players did it. So that's always good when you have player leadership like that. So sometimes you got to lick the bottom of the barrel to understand just how good that cream at the top is. So we'll see.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, let's dive into it. Shout out to Nick and Vista. I can't wait to see that game. Arapahoe, Coach Brayton, lot to watch in that game for sure. But Matt, with that, we are 10 days away from Colorado Buffaloes football. September 3rd, they face Georgia Tech and Coach Key down in Atlanta. We are 10 days away, Matt. How are you feeling? We got a lot of headlines to discuss, including Ezra Christensen here in a sec, but 10 days away, how are you feeling about the season?
Look, I'm obviously excited for CU to start playing football. I mean, shit, you get to watch games, we get to talk about it, Buff Insider and all that cool stuff. To say I'm not like super concerned about all this shit, it is a bold-faced lie. I am freaked out. Now, do I think they can rally behind this and use it to their advantage? Yes. I can only go off my own experience, but going into the 04 season, we were the most scrutinized team in the entire country, and our coach got suspended, and people were transferring, and the NCAA allowed it for anybody to leave whenever they wanted. This is before Markeisha left, and people started leaving the program, and you know, we didn't have a transfer portal. We can't replace those guys. When you lose Marcus Harris and Sammy Joseph and guys like that, starters, that hurts. Bloom couldn't play anymore. Like, it was just one shot after another. We were getting picketed in on the you know, sidelines, and people calling us rapists, and the community out there in Boulder standing in front of the Dow Ward yelling at us every day walking in and out of the building. Now, I don't think CU is dealing with that. But social media has become that. A bunch of people standing outside the Champion Center screaming. They're just doing it online. And right. Not only the civil war inside the fan base, the prime sexuals against the real CU fans, and that's what I said. Coach Prime is under scrutiny. His kid's getting sued for $11 million. He's being indicted. Indicted.
So he was subpoenaed. So Coach Prime has got multiple legal things going on. So let's just, Matt, you brought it up. Let me just read it off real quick. So Coach Prime, he was subpoenaed for Shiloh's bankruptcy trial last week during Colorado's open practice on August 11th, I want to say, either 11th or 13th. But he was unavailable, so they couldn't serve him for that.
Doesn't matter. This is the federal government, dog. If they want to subpoena you, you can't just be unavailable, especially when, oh shit, I got you want to see something that's funny? I can't not take this opportunity.
I don't mean to laugh at that. That is pretty ironic. I'm not gonna lie.
I didn't say anything else, but you can't find me when you need to get subpoenaed, but I'm not hard to find. Shit. So look, he can try and play peekaboo with the cops, I guess. I mean, it's not gonna work. Eventually, they're gonna subpoena him, and he's gonna have to show up, or he's going to be in contempt of court, and they're gonna arrest him. Look, he doesn't have, I don't think he has any like political sway in Colorado. You're not going to be able to get out of this shit. You have to go.
I don't know.
You got to go.
Look, so they try to serve him during Colorado's open practice. That's from Boulder Daily Camera. I'm not that.
Al Capone went when they subpoenaed him. Al Capone.
Yeah. And so with that, Matt, Coach Prime's attorney filed a motion to quash the subpoena to testify. Good luck with that, indeed. I don't know if you also saw this, but this is another note. This isn't the only lawsuit that Coach Prime's dealing with. And Tony Farmer, I just want to give him some credit. He's been kind of shedding some light on different things.
Shedding some light. Tony Farmer opened the skylight,
homie. Yeah, he did a hell of a job. He came on Braden Pajoco's show on Friday and talked about
it. By the way, Braden's like more outspoken than I am. I didn't think there was anybody more outspoken than me and JB. That's
Braden. Braden's
like, I want to listen to his show. I listen to his show and I go, holy shit, what did he just say? That's how people talk to me. So I love this guy. I want to hang out with this sumbitch.
Braden's the man. You can watch his show, the Fajoco Show.
We're definitely getting him on the show, bro.
100%. On YouTube. Yeah, Matt's going to be on there this week or next, so stay tuned for that.
We got Eric McClain tomorrow, the ACC reporter who played for Clemson, who said that Georgia Tech would, quote-unquote, murder CU when they
which go is, to I'm curious. I got to hear this murder. Tape. He needs a break.
He's on tomorrow. And then Thursday, we got Steve Atwater, and we'll talk NFL. And then Nick plays Thursday night, so that'll be cool. Hopefully they get a dub. And then Friday, I don't know what we're going to do Friday. Maybe BF can come on Friday.
Yeah, we have surprise guests on Friday. We're going to leave it as a cliffhanger.
Now, what I'm saying, though, all this turmoil, everything we're still about to talk about.
One more lawsuit, yeah. But go ahead.
There's more lawsuits. No, keep going.
There's another lawsuit. Coach Prime is being sued by a designer in Nebraska, accusing him of ripping off the logo because, he designed the Prime logo.
He infiltrated us. Cornhusker infiltrated. Now he's suing.
Okay, and then Coach Prime signed a declaration to countersue this.
Cool, countersue. The countersue doesn't hold as much weight as the original sue.
Sure, and also I will note
a lot of lawsuits in 1 week.
And going back to the first lawsuit, the subpoena, it's game. It's going to be of game week. Like there's a conflict there. So I think the judge also mentioned that though in that case that the judge knows Colorado has a game. The judge isn't biased, said that publicly, but knows that that's a factor. I will just throw that out there. Yeah, this is a lot of drama. Hey, what you want? This is a lot of drama. This is a lot of something to be concerned about. This is a lot of off the field distraction. Matt, like. What are we going? What's going on here? Run with this.
Okay. All right. So just from firsthand knowledge, distractions mount. Now they can be motivating at first. In 03 and 04 and 04, when we had those distractions, we started 3-0. Before I knew it, we were 4-4 and fighting for our lives. Now I, as a captain, I'm biased. I thought we had great leadership on that team with great coaching leadership and good leadership on the squad that's been through a lot of battles and won a lot of games and cool. We used it as motivation. We helped Coach Barnett win Coach of the Year and everybody that thought we would not win a game. Like I was on a team that everybody thought would go winless and be the worst team in college football. And we played for a Big 12 title and that's the last team that ever won a bowl game in Boulder. So you can sit here and be a prime sexual all you want, but I know what I'm talking about. They need to use this as motivation because if they don't, it is going to be distraction. And then they're going to blame it on that. Well, we're distracted and we got all this other shit going on and we can't focus. That's not going to work. You still have to perform even under the scrutiny because when you want all the lights and all the shine when it's good and positive, you got to take all the lights and all the shine when it's bad. And a lot of this is self-inflicted. I read the lawsuit paperwork. It got sent to me. I sent it to you before it got posted, did I not?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I read the entire thing. And you know what? I don't know who's right and who's wrong. That's not my decision to make, but the guy definitely has got a point. Okay, so he feels like he was wronged and Coach Prime screwed him out of something and he's going to use Coach Prime's platform to get his money. And you know what? Coach Prime would probably do the same thing. Because he's countersuing him back. So, I'm sure it's going to go nowhere because Coach Prime probably has more resources than this guy. But at the same time, that's not good. This isn't a good thing.
No, it's not.
There's nothing good about being subpoenaed for an $11 million lawsuit that your son is carrying around in his back pocket. Like, that's extreme debt. So is he going to pay that off for his kid? He already said he doesn't do that for his sons. He's not going to bail him out. But I know that he tried to. Why would he be getting subpoenaed if he wasn't involved? If he didn't try and, like, pay the guy off or something? That's just speculation. But why? Right. Again,
what's
if the? He never says anything about anything, and he doesn't allow people to report. And he pulls credentials, and nobody can ever get a straight answer. And everybody's scared to ask questions at press conferences because they don't want to lose access. Because that's happened multiple times now. It happened with us. It happened with Troy Rank. It's happened with Sean Keeler. Okay, one time, okay, I got you. Two times, maybe. Three times, that's just who you are.
Right.
So, he's ruling with this iron fist, and then he expects everybody to just play along, and people are fed up with this shit, and they're not playing along anymore. And I know damn well the people in Boulder aren't. Like, they expect him to go win this year, and you're making $11 million, and you've gotten everything you've asked for, and they've bent over backwards to accommodate. Even if it's not the best athletic department in the world, you knew that coming in. He did. He can't use that as an excuse. He said he was bringing Louis luggage. That's not what this is. This is drama. So the University of Colorado in the past, you know what they do with people with drama? I know what they do. They've done it consistently throughout time. They got the minute Coach Barnett's drama and winning didn't add up. When they lost 30-3, when they went to Iowa State 7-2, ranked 18th in the country with a lockdown the North. They lost to Iowa State. They lost to Nebraska 30-3 at home, and the student section had to be removed for throwing batteries at the Nebraska players. No lie. This is my rookie year. And then they lost to Texas 70-3, and then they lost the bowl game. Before the bowl game, they fired him. He was gone. So when the drama and all the bullshit mounted up and everybody could use it against them, he was gone. They did the same exact thing. Hawkins deserved to be gone. That guy sucked. We hired the wrong guy. Peterson should have been the coach, and then God knows where we go. Embry didn't really get a chance. Embry had to the Pac-12, the beginning of it. He was a scapegoat. I'm not going to say that he even had a chance to be a good coach there. What they did to Coach Embry, I really had a problem with. Andy B and the way they treated him. But you know what? They had to make a decision. Coach Mack went 3-7 or 5-7 for three straight years, and they got fed up. And he was a great coach. If he could have gone to a bowl game, those three, if they were 6-6 for 3 years in a row, he still might be the coach there for all we know.
Yeah.
He leaves. They bring in Mel Tucker. He leaves us at the altar. Then they bring in Carl Durrell. Maybe the worst coach in CU history, but he was the Pac-12 coach of the year during COVID. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So when his bullshit caught up with him, they got rid of him. So I'm not saying they're going to just get rid of Coach Prime. I'm not saying he deserves to be fired by any means. I'm saying I know the way they think in Boulder. And there's a new AD, and this is just piling up. And there's more shit that's going to come out too, because where there's one, there's another. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So you know what the beauty of all this is now? I know their game. The mob is going to get angry and come after us and talk about me needing a job and being angry because I didn't get hired by all that other bullshit. That's the way they do things. They're going to bring up my son. That's the new one. Okay, that's number two. It's funny as fuck to me because it just motivates him. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm exactly.
Mm-hmm. You're talking shit too. He can't.
He's giving him ammunition. He's going wrong.
You're talking shit, idiot. Okay, mm-hmm. Number three. They're so sensitive up there that they can't. They don't even ask questions. They avoid all the hard conversations. So if they're avoiding all the hard conversations in the media, when they control the press conferences and control who gets to talk and control who gets to report and control who has credentials and control everything. It's like a communist regime. They control. And then you wonder why I call the podcast guys propagandists. Like, come on, I read a book. So they control the messaging, but then they avoid all the hard conversations out here in the real world that people have questions to. And then we speculate and they get mad at the speculation, but then in turn, they don't answer the question and they don't give everybody the reality of it. We don't get to hear Coach Prime saying what he thinks. And maybe he's got a gag order because it's a lawsuit, but that doesn't mean he can't come out and give his side of the story and have a lawyer tell him what to say. Like, there's ways to talk around things. They just don't talk about anything. So it leads the entire world to speculate rather than just get the facts from a guy that they respect. Because if Coach Prime came out and told everybody what to do and he didn't stir the pot behind the scenes, because that's what he does. That's what he does. It's going to be what everybody's doing to them instead of what happened. And they have to respond to it and give everybody clarity on how to think about this and talk about it. So they just allow social media to speculate. All press is good press when you're running a reality TV show. So it comes full circle back to, this is the way I think. And I don't really give a shit if you like me or not. I'm not your friend. I don't know you. I don't owe you a motherfucking thing. Okay? I look at that and go, if they're avoiding hard conversations in an area that they totally dominate, where they kicked out everybody that asks hard questions, and they've got a room full of, unfortunately, I'm going to say this, and I love the guys that are up there, and I'm sorry, but a room full of people who really like their jobs and don't want to get access banned. Troy Rank, you want to ban him? He's fine. He's going to go do other shit. Sean Keeler's going to do other shit. You don't want to talk to us and we're bad guys over here? We'll go do other shit. It's all good. But some of the people up there, they're tied to that job. And if Coach Prime pulls their access, their bosses are going to get pissed. So you can't ask him any hard questions. So my question is very simple. If you're avoiding everything out here and I control the narrative land, how are you going to have hard conversations in an uncontrollable environment, which is a football team?
You don't.
How are you going to have hard conversations with your coordinators, your football players? How are you going to have hard conversations about personnel? How are you going to have hard conversations with the general manager and the personnel directors about how you're doing your football team? Or is everybody just a yes man because they want to keep their jobs because they know if they disagree with you, you're going to blackball them? So I'm just saying, I think that all of this is very, very troubling. And I think it goes deeper than just, oh, this is a minor distraction. I think this is a massive distraction. And I think the players see this and they go, well, hold on. Coach Prime's Teflon. What's happening? Why is this happening? And the Prime sexuals think, because they're a bunch of victims, they think that it's happening to them. And I've been working on this and I'm not very good at this. I still react poorly a lot. And I react poorly. I just tell people to go fuck themselves. I'm sure you've seen some of the texts or some of the DMs and shit. Like, I don't care. But a lot of it is how you react to it too. And if you just ignore it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to fester. And if everything is speculative and nobody knows what's going on because the guy that controls the narrative through his propaganda podcast guys, and I'm talking to, you know who I'm talking about, I'm sure you're going to get angry. I don't care. If the narrative is controlled and they pull credentials and nobody can report on anything, blah, 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 blah. But then you don't talk about this and then you could control the narrative if you just talked about it. That doesn't make sense to me. Why don't you want to control this narrative? Why are you ignoring this, but you don't ignore anything else? I know he hears everything. His team hears everything. He's got snitches everywhere that like go and they're like, oh, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? It's like a fucking sewing circle. So they know, they knew all this shit was going to happen beforehand. Do you think I'm lying?
No, you're right. You are.
They could have gotten in front of all of this.
Yeah. No, you're wrong
again. Like, let's understand, when you control the narrative, okay, control this narrative then and get in front of this and let everybody know what's actually happening instead of speculating about things that I'm not qualified to talk about, that you're not qualified to talk about. Nobody's qualified to talk about it. Nobody knows. But if you're not going to say anything, then people have to make shit up. And they have to speculate and just read stuff and then make their own determination about it. And it's people's jobs to talk about it. You're That's like... True.
That's 100%.
Troy and Sean Keeler and myself and you and whoever else. We get paid to do this, bro. Mm-hmm. This is a job. We're trying to do a good job and doing our job. And if we ask the question wrong or we say something wrong or we're worried about how it's gonna, like, if I ask this question, am I gonna get banned from ever speaking to anybody at CU again? A lot of people look at that and go, I'm probably not gonna ask the question. Me? I'm asking the question. I'm bringing it up. That's just not me. I'm not the run and hide in the corner guy because they may take my access. Because I'm going to reiterate this. Coach Prime and his era is awesome. I'm glad he came here. I was part of the group that helped him get hired. I was talking to Ray 3 weeks before he got hired. I remember talking to you about this, Bailey. They're about to hire Coach Prime, blah, blah. Everybody told me I was crazy. I was like, just wait. I remember talking to Bloom and Klatt and everybody, Coach Barnett, everyone's throwing their 2 cents in. Yeah, this is a great idea. And it is. And it was. And it still is. And I'm glad he's the head coach in Boulder. Okay. All that said, I don't care who you are. There's expectations everywhere. And you have to meet them. Otherwise, you have to accept what comes with that. Yeah. And $11 million, the expectation for everyone is winning. And when you walk in and say, I'm bringing Louie, and people are dealing with this now, and the new AD has to deal with this, and everybody's answering questions that they don't know the answers to, it's time for Coach Prime to come out and tell everybody what's going on in his own way, in a way that makes sense. And it'll squash all of this. But the longer that they don't say anything about it, the more people just run. Ourselves included, we have to. What, are we going to be the only show that doesn't talk about this? We went 5 days without talking about the strength coach, bro. 5 days. We just could not do it anymore. I had to talk about it.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, shit, man. I don't know. I think that we're living in a pretty crazy place and time. So you just got to take it with a grain of salt.
Times are bananas, Matt, and we have a lot more to discuss, including the Browns naming Deshaun Watson QB1 over Shedeur Sanders, the NCAA shutting down Ezra Christensen's eligibility case, unfortunately, and we are going to react to that and so much more with our special guest. But before that, if you guys are watching and like to support the show further, go support us by heading over to BuffInsider.com using our promo code B2BPOD to get 60% off an annual VIP membership today. Get all the coverage behind the scenes of CU from Jack Carlo over on BuffInsider.com and so much more. With that, you get Paramount Plus as well. You can watch Sly Stallone and so much more using our promo code B2BPOD. Matt, we got a very special guest joining the show. I'm so excited to have this man joining the show. Joining Back and Block, the premier show for Colorado Buffaloes football, we have the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, joins the show on a Monday. Mark,
there he is. God, you handsome SOB.
Fellas,
you just keep looking.
You know, I come back out of here, and I first thing I hear is Matt stirring up once again. Man, you were just poking the nest all the time, aren't you?
Well, I'm not so much poking the nest, but I don't have the ability to sit back and not talk. So
I get it.
Maybe one day they'll gag order me, but it ain't today. The voice it's gonna of be the with bus, you guys, Mark though, Johnson, joins us. Yeah. And, bro, I'm so glad you're on the show. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I remember the last time you dropped me a line about doing this, I was coming off. I had a pretty serious accident, and they had damaged my vocal cords when they did the surgery. And so I texted you back, and I said, I can't do it. They gave me orders. If you're not working, you don't talk. So I couldn't do it, so I'm glad it finally worked out eventually.
How long did you go, like, mute?
Well, yeah, my wife loved it, by the way. I didn't talk. In fact, you're going to love this. So for your viewers that don't know, because I speak for a living, but that doesn't mean she loves hearing me talk, by the way. I had a rodeo accident. I broke my pelvis, and during the surgery, they damaged my vocal cords. And so when we finally figured out what was going on, the guy told me, he said, I need you to just shut up. You can't talk. And I said, well, I can't just stop talking. This is what I do for a living. And he said, okay, you talk for work and that's it. So she actually made me a little thing that I carried with me that said, I can't talk to you right now. Because I've got a throat issue. And so, you know, I look like, you know, some guy sitting on a street corner someplace with my sign every time I was someplace. But I did. I got pretty quiet where I didn't say much other than when I was on a microphone for about 2 months. Yeah, it was quite a while.
Well, I'm telling you, you're one of the voices that bounce around in my head every time I think about CU. And just we had Coach Barnett on last week, and I loved it when if I can get this out correctly, he said that, you're the guy up there telling everybody what's going on, and he's the guy up there saying why. And exactly. I was like, Coach, that is just – I don't know if you could lay it out better on what color and play-by-play do. And I don't think people really understand how hard that job is and really how fluid it is and how important it is to be on par and, like, in you know, sync, in synergy, as they say, synergy, with your partner. And I mean, Coach Barnett and you, it is just, it's radio gold, bro. And I tell Nick all the time when we go to games, I'm like, hey, if they're winning and or losing by a lot, we're leaving in the fourth quarter because I got to listen to Coach and Mark on the way home. So get your shit and let's go. So let's talk about Coach Barnett a little bit and how awesome it's been. Not only him coming back to Boulder and being embraced by CU again as they yeah. should, yeah. But also just being able to work with, you know, the coach, bro.
Well, I'll tell you this, and Matt, you'll get a kick out of this as well as you know him. Gary's still a coach, even though he's been retired for a long time. He's still a coach. So, fellas, when he walks into the booth, he's still barking out orders, and I've got to remind him on occasion, hey, partner, you're not running the show here anymore. And when he really gets a little tough on me, I make sure that I tell him, hey, you know, when I got here in 2004, it's be my 23rd season coming up, when I got here in 2004, you were a big-time, highly-paid college football coach. Now you're sitting in the booth next to me. Your career's gone in a horrible direction, right? And, you know, you're carrying my bags in a row now, man. I mean, things have not gone well for you. But I say that in jest because I love the guy, just like you do. He is phenomenal. He has forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. One of my favorite moments, we go on the air 2 hours out from kickoff, and we get there 2 hours prior to that. So we're 4 hours out. When Gary walks in, sets his bag down, and he always goes, Marco, I've got a few things for you. And he goes over this list of things, and half of them are football insights or statistical anomalies or things that will never even cross my mind. But he says, these are things we need to watch today. We'll talk about at some point or another. And so one thing I love is, number one, his thoroughness. He approaches broadcasting just like he did coaching. I mean, there's a thoroughness. He's watching tape. I get text all week long about what I'm seeing and why this is working and why that's not working. And here's something we can exploit for, you know, Georgia Tech in a few weeks, those kind of things. And then on top of it, guys, he and I have become such good friends because now I get to sit alongside him and travel with him. And, you know, we're not just a broadcaster and a coach. We get to kind of be buddies and friends and brothers. And it's just been a joy. And, you know, it's amazing. I worked with a legend in Larry Zimmer for 13 years. And now Gary has been with me, you know, the years beyond that, just about a decade now. And so it's been such a treat. I just can't tell you how much I enjoy it.
I miss them, bro.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you joining. Like you mentioned, you took over at the end of 2004 for Larry Zimmer. That was Matt's senior year, last time CU won a bowl game. Obviously, headed into 2026, massive season ahead, lots of implications. Just talk about that headed into 26, and then take us back a little bit. Talk about Matt a little bit when he's at CU.
that guy, when I got to campus, I'm like, who is that wild man wearing number 60 over there, right? I mean, that dude's out of his mind, and he's creating havoc, and, you know, he's just a fire plug and a firebrand out there. Loved him as a defensive lineman. And so he was such an interesting cat. Well, first off, and Matt, you know this, that team when I got here was pretty dang talented. Holy cow, there was talent on that team, huh? I mean, a lot of guys on there. It was two very good seasons. Was your last year 04, 05? Was it
04? So we went, I went 2000, we went 3-8, we went 10-3, won the Big 12.
Yep.
I redshirted in 02. I broke my leg in camp. They went back to the Big 12 title game. In 03, we were 5-7. And then in 04, we, you know, everybody picked us to be 0-12, and everybody transferred, and Coach Barnett got in trouble, and then he came back, and we finished 8-5 and won the North and played for and last team to win a bowl game up in Boulder. And it was, you know, it's a testament to Coach Barnett keeping us together, though, too. So he was an unbelievable leader.
You consider all that was going on and the way Gary stayed focused and single-minded and kept you guys together and to, you know, hold that outside noise out of that locker room and to have a season like he did. Was phenomenal. And so, you know, it was just a great coming on board. When I first got here, you know, I was trying to figure the program out, being that I was coming in from the outside. And Larry Zimmer once told me, he said, Mark, when Mac got this thing rolling around here now, all those years ago, back in the late 80s, you know, it's not, you know, if we're going to a bowl game, it's how big a bowl game. And, you know, it was that way for many, many years. And then obviously after Gary's tenure was over, it dried up a little bit. So I've had to call a lot of, shall we say, challenging football seasons over the course of my 22 years. Went to a bowl game in 04 and 05, and then Gary got let go, and then Hawkins went, what was it, 07, I think.
I think they played Alabama in the Independence
Bowl. There you go. Yep, that's absolutely correct. And then I didn't see another bowl game until 2016. And then, you know, Yeah, yeah, I mean, isn't that crazy? Think about that for a second. About a decade without a bowl game in this program. That's inexcusable, in my view.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe that I say things like, I'm about to turn 45 and we haven't won a bowl game since I was a senior. I consider myself kind of the end of an era. Like, I feel like the Mac era ended officially in 05, but like 04, 05, that was the end. And I don't know, but from an outsider's perspective, coming in and seeing the end of it and knowing the history and being around Zim and then being around Coach Barnett, I know that Zim yearned for it until the day he died. And God bless Larry Zimmer. I love that man. Yep. And I know that Coach Barnett's yearning for it. I know you do. Yep. And when you get years like 2016, where they win 10 games and Phil goes off and they explode and you're like, they're turning it. And then they go 5-7 3 years in a row and replace the coach.
Yeah.
And then they go hire Coach Prime and they win a Heisman and win 9 games and everything's up and bam, bam, bam. And then they go 3-9. Why do you think, regardless of coach, it's been so hard to sustain winning tradition and program at CU since the end of the Coach Mac Gary Barnett era?
Well, Matt, I think I have a separation here about the last 5 years because the game has changed so much, right? You guys talk about it all the time. The transfer portals, right, exactly. NIL, pay to play, and all those kind of things have changed it. So to me, that's a different conversation than what transpired after Gary was let go. I think you look over the course of time, and there was a mistake made when Gary was let go, number one. Okay. Yep, so that was a huge mistake. You went out and you made a hire immediately thereafter in Dan Hawkins. That was a lot of flash at that point in time. And you know this. Everybody thought at the time, I remember Pat Forty at that point in time said it was a home run hire.
Yeah, now, I thought he was going to kick ass.
Yeah. And then I'll be honest, I made a couple of phone calls and I had guys in Boise telling me quite a different story. And so I'm like, well, how in the heck can that be? How can half the country be talking about this being a home run hire, the other half not? And then there were restrictions put on the program and some bad coaching hires, obviously, and things just began to bog down. And man, it's when that momentum gets rolling down a hill, it is awful tough to turn. And I think you can do that maybe at some programs if you've got, you know, a Texas or a USC where finances are unlimited. You can make mistakes and turn things rather quickly. Where I think at the University of Colorado, you have to be better in many respects from a management standpoint, from an organizational standpoint, to make sure that you don't make an extreme mistake where you've really got to correct things. And I think just along the way, things went from bad to worse. And then nobody was sure how to turn it around. And then you'd bring in, you know, and I'll be honest with you. I thought Mike McIntyre was going to get this thing turned. Mike's a good man. Mike was a good man.
I feel like he did to a point. I mean, a ton of those guys were NFL guys. What year was it where they had LaVisca? They were 5-0 going to SC. They had the lead and then they blew it in the second half and they lost 7 straight games, bro. I mean, exactly they were actually ranked 5-0 with NFL players all over the field. They lost 7 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. And so things began to, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy at some point, right? Things have been bad. And you know, listen, man, you've been on good and bad teams, right? When you're on a bad team and something goes wrong, it just snowballs. When you're on a good team, you can change things. You can change momentum. And when momentum gets going downhill, it is awful tough to turn at different times. And so I think there's a lot of aspects of this. I think there's an administrative aspect. I think there is an organizational aspect. I think there's a coaching aspect. Recruiting aspect, it all plays together. It wasn't just one thing, but everything kind of hand in hand made it go from bad to worse at different times. And that's why, you know, when Mac did what he did, I thought, okay, McIntyre did what he did, I thought, okay, they turned it a little bit. And when Prime got on here, obviously with the magnitude of who he is and, you know, the iconic stature, the celebrity, the enormous, you know, icon and brand that he is, that obviously, that energy turned this thing to some degree. And then what plays into this era then is all those things we just talked about. Transfer portal, NIL, the money aspect of it, and the uncertainty of your roster every single year.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy world we're living in.
Yeah.
And I know that's where Bailey's going. Bailey, next question.
Let's dive into it. Mark, I got to ask you about Colorado in 2026. We just had a player go from the NFL. Well, he was at Ole Miss, went and played for the Cleveland Browns, and now he is attempting to return, and sounds like he is returning to LSU now in college football. Unfortunately, on the other side of the coin, Ezra Christensen, who Colorado, I believe, left a roster spot open for, he was denied an injunction to be eligible this season. So the NCAA playing games, college football is a whirlwind. Mark, what are your thoughts on this? Go ahead.
Unreal.
Well, here's the thing. Just help me understand what the rules are and give me some level of fair play and put us all on a level playing field. That's what I don't get. How do you tell Ezra he can't play, but yet you're going to pull a guy in for the National Football League? And so it's been the inconsistency, and which is why the NCAA is where the NCAA is right now. You know, Matt, going back to 2004 when I got here, so you know this better than anybody. We're going through the whole Jeremy Bloom thing. I got here on the back end of that.
Well, we just had Jeremy on the other day. He told this whole story, yeah.
Yeah, so there you've got a chance back in 2004 to address this issue in some form or fashion, at least get ahead of it, right? And so what do? They just continue to kick it down the road. And this goes on for 20-plus years, and now we're in this mess where we have absolutely no control. The NCAA has no credibility whatsoever. The reason that that Congress doesn't want to give anybody an antitrust exemption is because they don't trust the NCAA. They haven't earned the level of responsibility to be given that privilege to be able to navigate these troubled waters we have in college athletics right now. And so it is an unmitigated mess. You know, you want to talk about bad leadership, and you can look at maybe what's gone on the last 20 years and say, well, the leadership wasn't where it needed to be. But what we saw in the Pac-12, number one, was the worst leadership I've ever seen in my entire life. And yeah, then the NCAA went to rival it, said, hold my beer, let me show you how to really screw things up. And that's what they've done now for the last 20-some years. And so we shouldn't be surprised we're in this position. Nobody has taken the bull by the horns and actually addressed any of these issues. And now we want to kind of put a little Band-Aid on it, you know, whenever one of these problems, pops up. The NCAA is getting its tail kicked every single week in court. The legal battles are just, you know, the losses are mounting like crazy. And we cannot seem to get our hands around this. And the way it's going right now, we're eventually going to kill the golden goose here if we're not careful. Because ultimately, when it gets to the point where if this thing just rolls to the point where it becomes a minor league NFL, you know, the old line, why have hamburger when you can have steak? We've already got the NFL. Let's make sure we're protecting what makes college athletics unique and special, what we love about it. We understand the guys are going to get paid. That's fine. But until we get some wrap around this and our hands on it, it is nothing more than a disaster. Guys, I say all the time, I tell people this nonstop, I love Saturday afternoon. The rest of the week really bothers me about college athletics and stuff to swallow.
Oh, boy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The voice of the Buffs, the great Mark Johnson, joins us here on the show. If you don't know that voice, you're not a Buff. I will say this. The business that I'm in, I'm really struggling, Mark, with the business I'm in right now.
I bet.
Regardless of how hot-headed I am and my mouth and yada, 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 I love college football to death, and I'm good at my job, and football is my passion, and it's why I was put on this earth, not only to play, but then really, you know, playing both ways and getting hurt, not being able to continue. It's really to coach and mentor these kids, and we put 600 plus in college in 18 years, and you know, we got guys everywhere in the gym that can play. I mean, yep. It's ridiculous. You walk in there on a Sunday morning and you're gonna hit 30 Division I players. I'm struggling with college football and what it's teaching these kids. I put on Twitter today, all college football is teaching right now is how to get away with stuff, how to cheat the system, how to tamper, how to take advantage of the situation, how to drive your price up. And I don't think this is going to be very good for the 25, 26, 27-year-old individuals as we move forward. I'm not trying to say they can't get paid. I'm trying to say maybe we should earn it instead of give it. And I don't know what college football is going to do about this, because I would not be the man I am today in any way, shape, or form if I did not have the struggles I had at the University of Colorado.
Sure.
Getting kicked out and having to earn my scholarship back and manning up and accepting responsibility for what I did and understanding it was going to hurt me in the draft and still going into the NFL with my eyes wide open, knowing I did it to myself. The victim mentality has never been higher, and college football is feeding into this mentality.
Yep.
And I don't know where we go from this, Mark. Like, bro, listen to what I'm about to say. A NFL player regardless of undrafted status or not, you're in the league. You have a I was undrafted. I got 6 years and had to change positions. I got my full vest. I'm damn proud of it. I never would have stepped backwards. I'm moving forwards. I just played college. It was awesome, but my time is up here. Can you imagine how good I would have been if I could have played for 7 years? Oh my God. So I look at this and go, why would you want to be the first guy, regardless of monetary possibilities, to go backwards? Doesn't that put a stain on the player, even though he's going to get paid? And I'm all about the capitalism and let's go get your money. Yeah. But how you get your money is also important. So I'm very confused on it because I represent guys. And if one of my guys called me and said, hey, I'm going to, if Aiden Nkiakaina called me and said, I just got $3 million to sign with the Lions, Colorado kid, I can't play. And I'm going to leave the Lions and go in the transfer portal to go get $3.5 million from Iowa. I would say, AK, you are out of your mind. Don't you dare do this. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Drew Rosenhaus is this guy's agent, and he's going backwards. And I don't know if Drew and this kid understand the precedent they're setting and everyone that's watching. And I think that this move will haunt this kid for the rest of his life. Now, I don't really have a question there, but just go with it.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll never forget one time I asked John Embry. I asked John Embry about something. Yeah, when John was coaching here, I asked him about some situation, and he looked at me. He said, "Mark, you're thinking like a 40-year-old instead of an 18-year-old." And so I apply some of that logic to what we're seeing and what you're getting at right there. Well, one of the issues becomes this old school kind of mentality you're talking about was always that forward momentum, right? I've got a line that I use all the time. I said, first you learn, then you drop the L, then you earn. First you learn, then you earn, right? That's what the college experience was supposed to be, right? We're moving forward. The goal was to get to the National Football League. And so that was always the direction we were all headed. Now, it's not the same. The climb is not part of this anymore. When we're handing money to average players that really aren't moving the needle in any way, shape, or form, but because the market says you're going to get your money and we're paying those guys, we have perverted the entire system at this point. I want you to think about something for a second. Here at the University of Colorado, three seasons ago, we had a first-round NBA draft pick in Tristan Da Silva. Guy's a great NBA player. He was an All-American candidate going to the final year of his college experience. And I'll leave it all kind of vague, but a major college basketball program was coming after him. And Colorado had to respond. And they ended up holding on to him for about $50,000 at that point in time. That's 3 years ago. Okay. Last year, Colorado in basketball lost three guys. They were fine players, not first-round NBA draft picks, not All-American candidates. Every one of those guys went out and made $2 million or more wherever they signed. Think about the level of inflation we're talking about. Think about the value you're talking about in these players. We're throwing money at guys that don't have a prayer to play in the NFL or the NBA, okay? But we're being told that they have to do that because that's part of where we're at right now, and we should be sharing money with the athletes. And I don't begrudge anybody for making money, as you just said a moment ago. I'm all for that. But the fact is, what we've done here, there's no market value to these guys. We're just simply throwing money at everybody and trying to grab whoever we can because we think we need to have a competitive team. And so the market has been totally perverted at this point. And there's no rhyme, no reason. If I'm going to pay $5 for a hamburger, that's fine. Make sure it's a $5 hamburger. But if you're going to give me a $5 hamburger, don't make me pay $50 for it. And that's what the system has done right now. We're throwing money at guys that have no business making that kind of money, but they get it simply because they're standing there. Yeah.
Good money at bad money.
There you go.
Unbelievable. Yep. All right, last question here. Yeah. Scheduled. It's ruthless.
Yes.
Now, I look at this from my perspective, old head, back in the day, and go, we don't have to play Oklahoma or Texas or Nebraska or Missouri or A&M. This schedule looks awesome.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go undefeated. Holy shit. And then I look at it now and I go, on the road in Atlanta, Weber State at home. The UNC actually plays Weber State this weekend in the first game ever at Nottingham Field under the lights. They put lights in up there.
Awesome.
The Slam's doing a great job. They invited a bunch of guys up, and then we're going to go Friday night. Why not? They play on Thursday. We'll go on Friday. So we'll get a taste of Weber State. We should smoke them. The Gary Barnett Bowl at Northwestern, which, bro, I wish I could go to that game. It's going to be so cool. Yeah. I just soaked that in because I know Coach Barnett's going to soak it in. At Baylor, I know that we played at Baylor in 03 and lost. It was the most embarrassing day of my entire life. Texas Tech at home, defending Big 12 champs. Utah at home. Supposedly we have a rivalry with them. In Stillwater with a revamped North Texas team that all came to Stillwater. Kansas State, I think they're our rival in the Big 12 now, and we're going to play them every year. And Coach Klein's from Loveland, and he definitely thinks it's a rivalry.
Yep.
In Arizona State, they also hate us. Kenny's going to have his team ready to play.
Oh, yeah.
Houston, much improved. Cincinnati and UCF, I think we can get them at the end of the year for sure. But those first seven, other than Weber, those are daunting. Run with that one.
Oh, man, I tell you what, we're going to be battle-tested by the time we get there. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. First off, even that first game. Listen, Georgia Tech was fantastic a year ago. Game we should have won at home. Didn't. They go on to have a 10-win season last year, and we're outstanding. You know it's going to be physical. You know it's going to be hotter than hell. You know it's going to be unbelievably humid. I told Gary, bring the talcum for the road trip. We're going to need it. It's going to be a heck of an atmosphere down there. And so I think that's a whale of a test right off the top there. And I'm interested to see what is Brennan Marion? What does the go-go look like? How does Juju perform, you know, on a big stage, being that now it's his team? I think there are a lot of great questions we don't know at this point in time. Weber, you should get the Barnett Invitational up there in Evanston. I mean, that's we're playing in a small stadium. The next week, I think they open the new stadium against Penn State, if I've got that correct. Yes. I wanted that game, but I think Gary did too, by the way. He's been talking about that Northwestern series the last few years that he really wanted to make sure he was there for that. So we don't get that, but still, you know, it's a Big Ten team. It's going to be a quality opponent, and I think this is a heck of a tough start to this season, and it's really going to challenge the Buffaloes. And so with all the newness, the stuff we don't know, right? Because I'm out there at practice. I see what they look like. I mean, I like a lot of things, and I'm optimistic about a lot of things. But we don't know until the lights are on, the bullets are flying. And so I can't wait to really see what transpires here on, you know, September 3rd when we get to, when do we play them? Second or third, whatever it is, that Thursday night.
The third.
Yeah, I think it's the third.
Next Thursday, right?
Yeah, yep. That's right. It's a Thursday. And so I'm looking forward to finally seeing it hit the field and getting a look at Juju, him, captaining this offense and what the system looks like. And can we run the football? Can we stop anybody running the football? Because we're going to have to do that against Georgia Tech. I think those are all great questions that we're not going to know until September 3rd. And then we'll be off and running.
Amen to that. Well, no. I'll tell you, that was about 30 minutes of absolute fire. Bailey, you got anything else for the great Mark Johnson?
Mark, I really appreciate you joining. Final question from me. The Browns named Deshaun Watson starting quarterback over Shedeur Sanders. You're the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. If you had a message for Shedeur Sanders after this and just your thoughts on it, what do you have to say?
Well, here's the thing. Watching Shedeur as I did for 2 years, and I thought he was a phenomenal college quarterback. And listen, he's going to have a shot someplace. It is the Browns, for goodness sakes, right? The Browns are going to brown, and what do they do today? Name Deshaun Watson, their starting quarterback, and they get a kid transferring to a college team. So it's the Cleveland Browns. Prime and I have talked a lot about that. I think everybody involved would have liked to have seen Shedeur end up someplace else, but it is what it is right now. Yes. And so, there you go. And so, for him, keep doing what you do. I mean, the one thing I always appreciate about Shedeur, he carried himself like a professional. I always thought he prepared himself like a professional. He carries himself in front of the camera and the microphone like a professional. Things will work out just fine for him in the long run. I understand there's some bumps in the road in this circumstance and where he is right now, but he'll work his way through it and probably find himself someplace else here in the not-too-distant future.
And honestly, I think this is just going to piss him off. I was at the CSU game. Nick went up there as a recruit that night in Boulder, and the comeback and – when Kamara hit him and he got up and spit blood and laughed at him. And
you were
in the booth. I didn't get to hear any of the call. Right. But I personally think Shedeur is right up there on the list of all-time Buffaloes for toughness.
Yeah. without question.
The shots I saw him take and the way he got up every time, the Kansas game, the CSU game, everybody cheap shot Shador. And he would just get up and literally spit blood and laugh at you and go down and stick it in the zone and then throw up the watch. I mean, when you're sitting up there in the booth, what do you do at that point? Just go, all right, this is incredible. The dude's spitting blood and just waste one. Game over.
Well, I mean, think about what the two seasons he played. He got sacked like what, like 90 times or something over the.
I mean, the most in the country by far.
Yeah, just insane. And how every time he took a shot, he'd get back up and then, you know, find Travis or, you know, Jalen or somebody and throw another touchdown. I mean, I he was such a tough guy, and you know, quarterbacks on occasion, you know, they have a certain reputation. But I always looked at Shador as being a football player. Playing that position, as tough as he was, as competitive as he was, he would step in there and make huge throws knowing the hit was coming. And he had a penchant for making big plays. His old offensive coordinator always used to say to me, say, Mark, he is a heroic SOB, man. And that's one of the best things you can ever say about a college football player and a quarterback.
Well, that is the voice of the bus, Mr. Mark Johnson. Mark, all the best to your bride, as you call
her, sir.
And your amazing son and everything you do, bro. We love you, and I cannot wait to hear you and Gary chop it up down in Atlanta. Again, bring those talcum powder because it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot. We're going to get a little bit of crotch pot cooking, I'll tell you.
Hey, one of these times now, I know you're always down to silent. You got to come up with a booth. Now, you got to edit yourself a little bit one or other.
I will be Radio Matt, I promise. And hey, brother, I'm telling you, my dream job is to be next to that booth with you in that booth after Gary retires in like 20 years.
Love it.
So, yeah,
let's get you up there. Yeah, let's get you up there. Be Radio Matt. Otherwise, Gary's going to make you run afterwards. So it's not going
to
be.
I'm going to be out there running. He used to make me run stadiums with a 45-pound plate over my head. And then he would walk out on his deck because the old coach's office was in the Dell Ward. He'd walk out on the deck and go, not fast enough. And I'd just be running like, oh, I'm going to go to class tomorrow. I promise I'm going to go to class tomorrow. I promise I'm going to go to class tomorrow.
Guys, it's good to be out with you. But yeah, let's get you up with the booth sometimes this year for a little bit.
That's done, brother. You, that is booked. Signed, all right. Sealed, delivered. I can't wait.
Fantastic. Enjoyed it, guys.
You know it. Later.
Voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Thank you for joining, Mark. Man. Appreciate you. Shout out to Mark Johnson, Matt.
Knock him out, baby. That was a hell of an interview.
Shout out to Mark, man. We appreciate it. That was an awesome interview. Tons of different little tidbits about CU talked about.
He just dropped a burner about the Browns. Well, the Browns have guys leaving their team to go back to college. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like, that perfect. I mean, he's spot on. I mean, he ain't lying.
It's beautiful. It's true.
He ain't lying. He keeps it real. Shout out to Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Matt, I know you're impressed with time. Do you have any closing thoughts for the people as we get out of here? We have some fun shows planned ahead this week. On Thursday, we have NFL Hall of Famer and Broncos legend Steve Atwater joining the show. Matt, any closing thoughts?
No. I mean, the Smiling Assassin is joining us Thursday. And not only is he one of my favorite players ever, but I consider him a great friend. And I love Steve Atwater. Steve always makes time. Steve could be Steve. I mean, Steve's a Hall of Famer, and I personally, I mean, arguably people can say whatever they want, he's my all-time strong safety, and it's not even debatable. Ooh. Like, and that's over Ronnie Lott, because Ed Reed's the other one, so that's over Polamalu and Lott and Chancellor and all these other guys. Everybody sorry else. But 2-7, the minute when he knocked out Christian Okoye, I remember as a kid, I was like, holy shit, I love football. This is incredible. Wait to have him on Thursday. He'll be on at about 1:30 again. That's going to be a great show. But tomorrow we got Eric McClain on, and he's the ex-player from Clemson who's the ACC in-studio analyst. And he said the Buffs were going to get murdered. So I can't wait to have him on. And we're going to have him on McChesney Unfiltered. Because that's the way we do things. So Unfiltered will be on tomorrow on 0-60. We'll have Eric on, and I'm sure we'll say motherfucker a couple of times. So hold on to your ass. It's going to be a great show.
Perfect. If you guys are watching, pound the like button, subscribe, become a member of the Denver family. This is Back in Black, the premier show for Colorado Buffaloes football coverage, brought to you by 24/7 Sports and BuffInsider.com.
They can't cuss in front of Coach and Mark, man. there, Mark's a man of God and coach is coach. I'm not going to get on here and be like, what's up, motherfucker? I can do it. Come on. Yeah, that's like, the way we get down. Yeah, so I got, there's Radio Matt. We just said it. When I go on,
you're going to be doing, the stairs again with 45 if you do that. There like, all over again.
So. Radio Matt will come out, but Radio Matt only comes out when you actually give me a chance to go on the radio. Otherwise, I'm real Matt. Radio Matt's on the radio. This is a YouTube show. So.
A little bit different. Yeah. A little bit different. But yeah, don't miss tomorrow. We got so many special shows this week. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. Don't go nowhere. 1 p.m. Mountain Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, Back in Black, the premier show for Colorado Buffaloes football coverage. Special. Thank you to
We're voice. Riding that short bus all week.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you to Voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, for joining the show. Dropping some truth bombs about the NCAA, Cleveland Browns, and the University of Colorado. Matt, you got anything else for the people as we got here on a beautiful Monday?
No.
We will see you guys tomorrow. Don't miss it. 1 p.m. Mountain Time, 12 p.m. Pacific. Go Buffs. Peace.
Welcome, everyone, to Folsom Field here in Boulder, Colorado. Right now is the epicenter of college football.
Welcome to 0 to 60. Matt McChesney.